Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, live in Los Angeles on a Monday. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening or watching, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. There is plenty of both. We got a game tonight. We still have coaches to be hired, potentially one more to be fired. Joy Taylor is joining me on, listen, if the Cowboys season was going to end, and we predicted Friday, 28-27 Niners, if it was going to end, for our purposes, that's the way it needed to end, a complete tire fire on the freeway. That's how it had to end for us. So as I watched it, I thought, yeah, I've seen this before.
Yeah, felt like we've watched that movie before. But what do you do to change the story?
Seems obvious. So I want to this whole first segment, I just want to talk Cowboys. So I'm going to start. Don't roll the tape yet. I want to start with the play, the quarterback draw. Now, I would not have called that. Apparently, Kellen Moore called it, and then Mike McCarthy was on headsets. He was good with it. But there are four reasons, with no timeouts left and limited time, why I wouldn't have called it. You can roll the tape now. One, the sidelines are your friend. The middle of the field, your enemy with no timeouts left. It's quicksand. Stay away. Number two, this wasn't the case, but it often is. Middle of the field, quarterback draw, big heavy defensive lineman or linebacker lays on you. You're slower to get up. Number three, the Cowboys were having success with the strength of their team. Wide receiver throwing to the sidelines. 9 yards, 10 yards, 9 yards. Got 30 yards in 14 seconds. It was working perfectly. I've seen it. Tom Brady's done it 1,000 times. And number four is Nick Bosa was out, right? So that meant Dak was going to have a little nicer pocket. And the weakness of the Niners is corners. And the strength of the Cowboys, even with Michael Gallup hurt, is their weapons. Play to your strengths. So middle of the field. That's a stay away with no timeouts left and limited time. It was working. It was attacking the Niners' weakness. But bigger than that, you're paying Dak $40 million a year. I want to see big boy throws. Tom Brady would not have done a quarterback draw. Tonight, Matt Stafford wouldn't do a quarterback draw. Mahomes wouldn't do a quarterback draw. Peyton Manning wouldn't do a quarterback draw. Now, Josh Allen could, but he'd probably outrun everybody for a touchdown. Dak is not Josh Allen. But all the quarterbacks this weekend, outside of Josh Allen, we wouldn't even consider a quarterback draw. And by the way, I don't think you would with Josh Allen because he has such a strong arm. I'm paying you $40 million a year not to run. I'm paying you that kind of money not even to win against the NFC East. It's a crappy division. I'm paying you to make big boy throws in crisis. I'm not paying you to do a quarterback draw and go down to the last 2 seconds. Now, after the game, here was the reasoning by Dak and the Cowboys, apparently.
I mean, it's risky, but when you've practiced it, as I said, as we've done over and over again, you're not necessarily worried about it. You're trusting your training, everything that you put into it. As I said, I went and ran, got down. As I looked up and was getting behind Tyler, once again, saw the 4 seconds, thought it was time, and the rest, you don't prepare for things like that. But, I mean, I guess we'll start having to, knowing the way this just played out.
Okay, it's not practice. It's not the way it is in practice. Here's the other thing. I have a rule I use all the time. Say it out loud. If there were 14 seconds in the game, you had no timeouts. If you ran the quarterback drop perfectly, and you slid, Dak slid a little late, perfectly, and no defender laid on you, which one did for about a half a second, and you got the ball to the official perfectly, if it was perfect, you'd have probably 2 seconds left. Really? You're going to make it that close if it's perfect? At practice, you'd have 2 seconds left. Well, you know it's not practice. It's the 49ers. You run a sideline pattern. That takes 3.5 seconds. You'd have 9 seconds left, 8 seconds left. You'd have time for another sideline pattern. In the end, I hated this call. And I don't care what analytics say. The Chargers are pro analytics. They watch the playoffs on TV. The Cowboys there went analytics. Yeah, the Niners kept kicking field goals. They're going to play. But on a bigger picture, let's talk about this. Let me ask you a question, because I know Cowboy fans this morning, they trailed the entire game, want to blame everybody. Do the Cowboys look like a well-coached team? Does Dak look like a great quarterback? Because I saw great quarterbacks this weekend. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. I saw great. Dak looked much closer to Jimmy Garoppolo than Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes. And do you feel you're Dak's your guy now. But Mike McCarthy didn't have to be your guy. But I don't have a lot of sympathy for the Dallas Cowboys. If you keep doing the same stuff over and over and over, you're going to run that thing back? So Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. He also appears to have a great coach. Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. He appears to have a great coach. And Tom Brady's a great quarterback. And we know at least Arians is a really, really, really good coach. And Josh Allen's a great quarterback, and he appears to have a tremendous young coach. Dak's a solid quarterback. Sometimes he's pretty good, and he's got a weak coach. So you can't change Dak. You can't run him out of town. Where do you make the change? Dak is not talented enough to overcome a really average coach. Don't you think it's kind of strange that since Mike McCarthy left, Aaron Rodgers is going to win back-to-back MVPs? Have you noticed since Mike McCarthy left, we say this about Aaron Rodgers all the time. Guy makes it look so easy. It never looked that easy with McCarthy. It looks easy with Matt LaFleur. But I'm watching all these other teams, and so is Jerry Jones in Kansas City and Buffalo and Tampa and Green Bay. Those are great quarterbacks that have great support systems from their coaching staff. I don't put Dak in that class, and McCarthy's not even remotely close to that class. At least Dak has days, games, Sundays. I mean, they did score over 50, scored over 43 times, over 30 multiple times. Dak has his moments. Does McCarthy? Have you felt in any moment this year, whew, McCarthy outdueled Sean McVay there or Belichick there? There are moments Dak does. But I mean, this is what we said. Dallas was going to beat up on the flimsy NFC East, but when they played Arizona at home, they lost, and Vegas, they lost, and San Francisco, they lost, and Tampa, they lost, and Kansas City, they lost, and you're going to run it back? I've never been a fire the coach guy. I've been doing this forever. Like, I'm not a fire the coach guy. I would put Mike McCarthy in an advisory role. I don't want to ruin people's lives. You have to strongly, though, consider today Dan Quinn or Kellen Moore as the coach. You've got to strongly consider it. I mean, how many examples do I need? Folks, did you see the sideline for the Cowboys during the fake punt they pulled off? Here's video for our TV audience. This is a fake punt. Even when they succeeded, look at the sidelines. It's chaos. They were trying to induce a delay of game. They did on themselves. Even when they succeed, it looks like a tire fire. Even when they succeed on the final drive of the game, in the end, it looks like a disorganized mess. The Cowboys were the most penalized team in the NFL in the regular season, the only team in the league to have 14 penalties accepted against them in two different games this year. And that's with Mike McCarthy being a head coach for a decade plus. It'd be one thing if you had a rookie quarterback like a Belichick or, you know, Nick Sirianni's got a young quarterback, and then you're like, yeah, they kind of butcher the line of scrimmage. You got Mike McCarthy's been doing this now for a long time, and they look like it is a yard sale. It's a skier that falls and his equipment goes everywhere all the time. At some point, I got no sympathy for Dallas, Jerry Jones, Cowboy fans. Well, I have sympathy for them, but I got no sympathy if you run this back. This happens in sports all the time. where you've got a problem with the organization, well, what do? You move the part of the organization you can remove. You can't just fire players. Sometimes you can't trade players. Dallas certainly isn't going to move off Dak. He's a valuable entity. He's a good franchise quarterback. He's good. I can argue that he's basically Kirk Cousins with fewer haters, but I wouldn't bail on Kirk Cousins this afternoon. I've defended Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he and Dak are fairly close. I like Dak a little more, not a ton more. But you got to then move the pieces you can move. You've got a younger coach. I don't know if you've looked around, but young offensive coaches are, I don't know, winning everywhere. If you want to go defense, he's in-house. He revitalized your defense last year. But I got no sympathy for anybody inside that organization if you run this nonsense back. None.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I just banged on the Dallas Cowboys for wanting to run it back and do the same stuff over and over again. I would move off Mike McCarthy, put him in an advisory role, pay him the money. But you look around this league right now, what is winning? It's not Mike McCarthy. Bill Belichick has always viewed players as pieces, parts. He doesn't get emotional. He's moved off great players, Pro Bowlers. He wanted to move off Brady. He moved off Garoppolo. Josh Allen in the last two games has been so devastating, unstoppable, and jaw-dropping. Could Belichick, and this was a great defense, be thinking, I probably got to trade Mac Jones because if this is a gunfight, I'm not sufficiently armed. That was the best cold weather performance I've ever seen by a quarterback. He had four incompletions. And Mac Jones, by the way, this is a great interception by Micah Hyde. Mac wasn't terrible. But the league has changed. Belichick's 70. Mac Jones has value. He is a free player for 3 years at the most vital position. You can win with Tua and Mac Jones. And for some organizations, that's what they're looking at. Belichick wants Super Bowls. Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow, Josh Allen. Good luck being absolutely a tier below. In the last two games against Belichick, Josh Allen has 8 touchdowns, no picks, over 600 yards, and no punts. No punts. We talk Saints, Bears, Raiders. Is Belichick this morning, who has a history of moving off popular players, he would have moved off Brady, looking at this and going, okay, I got to face that 10 times in the next 5 years minimum. This isn't the Brady era where all the quarterbacks and most of the coaches were stiffs. Sean McDermott's excellent. Their GM is excellent. Josh Allen is sublime. He's unstoppable. Now, he's got that Mike Tyson thing where he has bad rounds and bad fights. But in a 17-game schedule, Josh Allen is going to be the better quarterback on the field, like Brady was, 16 of 17 weeks. Maybe if he goes to Kansas City that week, he's not. Or he catches a red-hot Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow. But I honestly thought, as I watched that, Belichick's got eyes. Does he look at that and think, I have created value for Mac Jones? There's 9 teams that need a quarterback. We're talking about where Russell Wilson's going. Nobody mentions New England. I'd like to have that defense, that offensive coordinator, and that head coach. But Josh Allen is so devastatingly gifted. I mean, Joe Burrow's good. He's not that. Kyler Murray's good. He's not that. So Belichick at some point is like, I'm putting out my best defenses, my best schemes. This kid's still young. That's when Belichick can get to a Mahomes or a Josh Allen or a Herbert, right, in the first couple years. Okay, Josh Allen's still young, and he's pulling away from Belichick. You can't tell me they couldn't get value for Mac Jones. And I didn't think Mac Jones was awful. But Josh Allen is so devastatingly lethal, you can't look at that as a Patriot and think, yeah, next 4 years, 8 times minimum. Good luck. They're not losing at Buffalo. A nor'easter, literally God, nature, the galaxy, is the only thing that gives New England a shot against that quarterback. a 45-mile-an-hour nor'easter. Planes couldn't land. Boats couldn't go out. That's your shot to beat him. Cross your fingers, you get that twice a year, because what I watched is not stoppable. Not at home, and they're going to be winning this division from this point forward.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know, the interesting thing with that, and we'll show it in a second with the Cowboys doing that, the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy are saying it's the right thing to do. It's analytics. Here's the easiest way to think about this. If you just drop back as a quarterback, this is what Brady made a career of, and throw to the sidelines, you simply get more plays. If you run a play to the middle of the field because you can't stop the clock, it means you're going to get fewer plays. So when there's 14, 15 seconds left, this is going to be at best one of your final two plays. You know that when you do the play. You only get one more play. If you do it the other way, which is keep throwing to the sidelines, you're going to get three plays. So ask yourself, and you know running that play, there's no chance to score. So the minute you decide we're going to do that play, you got two plays. That's going to be one of your final two plays. Sidelines with 14 seconds left, you get three plays. What would you rather have there, two or three? So it makes no sense to me. Even if I had 25 seconds left, because at 25 seconds, you'd feel much better about it. At 25 seconds, I'm still probably limiting the number of plays. If I had 25 seconds, I'd get five passes, minimum four. If I had 25 seconds and ran that, I'd be down to three. So I just want more plays and more options because stuff goes wrong. It's like when you take your kids on vacation. Anybody that's had kids knows this, multiple kids. You build in chaos. Something's going to be late. Somebody's going to have a tantrum. Somebody's going to forget something. You just build it in. It's the old Home Alone. Hopefully you don't forget one of your kids at the house, but somebody will forget something. A passport, a license, so you leave early for the airport. You get there early. You just build it in. When you're running that with 14 seconds left, you're giving yourself no build-in for that play. If it's run perfectly, you have 2.5 seconds left. Perfectly. So Chris Sims tweeted this earlier. Quote, coaches I've worked with, McDaniels, Belichick, Gruden, always said, 17 or 18 seconds was the line of demarcation for a quarterback sneak like that in the middle of the field. So that's 17 or 18 seconds. You had 14. Those 4 seconds are your season. So here's Mike McCarthy after.
Do you want to be running a Hail Mary play from the 50-yard line, or you want to be running five verticals from the 25-yard line? So that's the decision. It's the right decision. It's just like anything. It's, you know, the execution between us and the officiators spotting the ball obviously wasn't, we shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted there. Is that the quote you're looking for?
Okay, first of all, he gave you two options. Well, we either were going to throw this or that. Those weren't the options. You had far more variables to consider. So it just doesn't make any sense. And I'll ask the questions again. If you're a Cowboy fan, you can blame the refs all you want. You trailed the entire game. It really should not have been that close. There was a play earlier in the game when Jimmy Garoppolo, on a 4th and inches, complete bonehead play. It's like a high school play. He didn't let Trent Williams, his left tackle, who moved to the right side, get set, which is inexplicable. No excuse. It's a total bonehead play. As a quarterback, one of the first things you always do is just make a quick look. Our guy's set. It was a 4th and inches. If Garoppolo gets that, and he did, the game's over. So Garoppolo gave you this drive. The game should have been over. But Garoppolo made, you know, the kind of move which has been driving Kyle Shanahan crazy. Everybody's paying attention to the interception by Garoppolo. It was bad. I'm not disputing that. But again, playoff games, if you're an aggressive quarterback, I'm not going to crush you for a pick. I'm going to crush you if you're Jimmy Garoppolo. You go to the line. You've got 50 NFL starts. You've been to Super Bowls. You've been to playoff games. And you don't wait for Trent Williams to get set? What are you doing? So for Cowboy fans who want to complain, only Jimmy Garoppolo's bonehead play gave you an opportunity to move it down the field. The game should not have been that close. You can blame the officials, but 14 penalties, second time this year, many in pre-snap. I mean, the pre-snap penalties, that's a coaching penalty. You got to get your act together.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Where Colin was right?
Well, we said all year we thought the Cowboys were pretty good. And they are. They're pretty good. But they lose to the better teams they play. In the end, Dak's good. But good quarterbacks need great coaching to take him to the next level. That's what McVay did with Goff. Dak needs more help than what I believe is a B-minus C-plus head coach. The Dallas Cowboys, maybe we'll find out that Dak was hurt, but he did not play particularly well the last 6 to 7 weeks of the year, and this team could not beat the better teams on their schedule. I mean, they were blown out at home by Denver. They lost to the Raiders, and you start looking at their big wins. It was the Chargers was one of their better wins. Well, Chargers didn't make the playoffs, and I don't think Dak had a touchdown pass that week. So this team just has a ceiling. They've got a lot of playmakers, but they're just not special enough to me at quarterback and head coach.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought we were going to have really close games. I took some underdogs. Three of the five were blowouts, and they were blowouts, and they were over 5 minutes into the game, it felt like. I've never seen Belichick be humiliated like that. I could understand Brady winning big. Things happened. The weather was going to be quirky. To watch Bill Belichick in the last two games against Josh Allen, literally he gets a touchdown every drive. No punts. Six touchdowns, no picks. I mean, that thing... not competitive. And I really didn't think Mac Jones was awful. I just thought you can't ask a rookie quarterback to go on the road and have a touchdown every drive. That's not realistic. So I thought the games were going to be much closer.
Where Colin was right.
Been on the Josh Allen bandwagon now here for a couple years. I think he's more talented than Mahomes. Doesn't mean he's always better. He's the Mike Tyson of quarterbacks. His knockout punch is the best in the sport. He's flawed. He makes too many mistakes. He's got a lower completion percentage. But there's nothing out there in the league right now. This is John Elway. I mean, there were other great quarterbacks. Montana was great, but nothing looked like Elway in his prime. Nobody looks like him. As good as Russell Wilson and Kyler are running around, they got a slide. He just runs over guys. I mean, I'm not sure he's not faster. He may be not more elusive, but he made Belichick's defense in the last two starts that was in the right spot often look anemic.
Where Colin was wrong.
I defend Jimmy Garoppolo. I know he's not great, but I've always said good. But he had a play right here when he did not let Trent Williams set. That is remedial high school stuff. It was the right play called. What are you doing? You're a quarterback. Look around. I mean, that is what drives Kyle Shanahan nuts. Game's over. Cowboys never get it back. Say what you want about the officials. That is why you got to eventually move off Jimmy Garoppolo. You can't. That if a rookie does that, you almost get it. I wouldn't, but I almost get it. For him to make that mistake there, nonsensical.
Where Colin was right.
I said Joe Burrow would be Tony Romo out of college, and I loved Romo. By about the third game, I said, all right, he's way better than that. Folks, he made throws this weekend. Joe Burrow is so effortlessly cool. And stop telling me the whistle blew here. If it did, it was on the ball. It didn't matter. The Bengals had the touchdown. They had the Raiders beat on that play. Give me a break on the whistle. Yes, Ja'Marr Chase is great. Yes, their offensive coach is clever. But you know you're cool when you are without trying to be like the other Ohio quarterback. This kid is absolutely special. He's got a super bright young coach, Zach Taylor. And I don't know if they can beat the Titans. That is a huge ask for what I believe is the weakest roster left in the playoffs. But we've been on the Burrow bandwagon for a long time, and this is what you get.
Where Colin was wrong.
I was also a big supporter of Jalen Hurts, but good hell, what was that? 31-0, missed layups. Troy Aikman was begging for them to throw to wide receivers, which they almost didn't for the entire first half. Listen, you probably go back into next season with him, but if I have three first-round picks and I'm Howie Roseman and he's a deal maker as a GM, he and Les Snead, they're looking for deals, I got to at least kick the tires on Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr. You don't get three first-round picks very often. They're not top 10 picks. You just don't. When you do, you start looking around at these playoffs. Man, there's a big separation between Mac and Jalen and a lot of these other quarterbacks. And I didn't think Jalen could play that badly.
Where Colin was right?
Well, the quarterback face bracket was a shocking 4-1. We do a face bracket where we only pick games based on who the better quarterback is. Josh Allen, Burrow, Mahomes, and Brady. I probably should not have picked Jimmy Garoppolo. That face, that's a Super Bowl face. But I do think Dak's better. A little bit. Not a gigantic canyon or chasm, but 4-1 face bracket.
Where Colin was wrong.
What do you know? We've got 8 NFL coaching openings. I said all year, it looks like 3. Even 2 weeks ago, I said, okay, I'll give you 4. Nope. Owners get weird. I'm sorry, but David Culley won 4 games in a complete and utter tank/rebuild. They're not going to give him another run. I mean, Davis Mills actually got better as the season progressed. Brian Flores won 8 of 9. Like, I get Joe Judge, I get Vic Fangio, but the Urban Meyer thing, even Urban, by the way, surprised me. I thought they'd give him the year. This is the NFL. And by and large, all of them dismissed for different reasons. So I've said it earlier, Mike Zimmer would be hard for me to fire. I really think he's a top 12 coach in the NFL. But, you know, his voice got tired trending the wrong way.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Mic check. Mic check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcasts from.
Mike Silver, NFL reporter, friend of mine. He has been, he's on my podcast all the time. He is one of the really sharp guys, information guys in this league. There's a lot of stuff going on, folks. Owners get weird. Owners get cranky this time of the year. So let's just start with this. You know, I'm reading all the stuff this morning, and Jerry's, I'm fine. What was just your reaction on that quarterback draw, the penalties, the circus on the sidelines on the fake punt? This morning on the Cowboys, how did it land for you?
Yeah, I just watching it in real time, Colin, I just couldn't believe they were doing that, because what you gain, arguably a little bit better chance at an end zone shot, but only one. You know, the risk is so high. It has to be executed absolutely perfectly. You are putting in variables like the umpire getting the ball, all your players getting back, staying, you know, set. And I just, it seemed insane to me. Yeah, the middle was open because the 49ers dared it to be open smartly. Even throwing to the sideline there, I don't like it. I would prefer 2 or 3 shots to the end zone, personally. I think it's still such a low percentage play from the 26 or whatever, as opposed to the 40. So I wanted to know who called it and who greenlit it and what the heck was going on. And so I got some answers. Kellen Moore made that call. Mike McCarthy was on the headset and greenlit it. So it obviously falls on him. Dak theoretically could have checked off. That would have been going completely rogue, and I don't know that there was a natural play to get to, but I think that was a systemic failure that apparently they practiced in that situation, and I'm not smart enough to understand how that could possibly be a smart strategy.
Okay, there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, you watch Mac Jones and you think, and you watch Jalen Hurts, and I know they're young, but there's part of you that thinks, boy, that's not good enough going forward. So your thought, but the name, it's interesting. Derek Carr of the Raiders, he doesn't know who his coach is. This has been chaos since he's been there. This will be his, what, 6th head coach. What are you hearing about interest, Derek Carr, going forward in that job?
Well, Derek Carr put a marker down. He wants Rich Bisaccia to be the head coach on a permanent basis. And I am always, very circumspect when it comes to what I call the interim trap. Usually teams get a bounce from an interim, and then maybe you hire him without really doing a real search. But in this case, the Raiders went through some extraordinary things and steeled themselves and, got to the brink of a playoff victory. This is, Derek Carr and his teammates, who also, I'm told, feel this way, a lot of them, they're uniquely positioned to understand what their challenges have been and how Rich Bisaccia, unified that team. So you look at a guy like Carr, he's got 1 year left on his deal. He didn't sign another extension.
Yeah.
He knows the rumblings that perhaps as high as ownership, they've been flirting with the idea of getting rid of him. Mark Davis seems to be starry-eyed. He wanted a star coach. He wants a star quarterback, maybe beyond what Derek Carr is. And if he goes and hires someone who is not Rich Bisaccia and Derek Carr doesn't feel listened to, remember, that's how Aaron Rodgers felt. That's how Russell Wilson said he felt. Fasten your seatbelts. And he would have a lot of interest. I know a lot of people marginalize him. Quietly, he had a monster season, probably better than the season a few years ago, 2016, I think, when he was being mentioned as an MVP candidate.
Yep.
A lot of late victories and a lot of clutch play.
Oh, I would. There are seven teams in this league I'd call tomorrow on Derek Carr, including Philadelphia with 3 first-round picks. Okay, so this is fascinating. We think of the Colts as a no-chaos, disappointing ending. But that's not what you're hearing right now in Indianapolis.
Well, I know people tend to regard Jim Irsay as a caricature and he's into rock and roll and, blah, blah, blah. This is a fiercely, fiercely competitive man who has been around football his entire life. And he makes bold statements sometimes and people laugh him off. We're going to win multiple Super Bowls. We're going to do this. He really believes that they have a team that can ascend to those lofty levels. And I think he has a right to be as furious as he is about the way the season ended. You've got a team that was playing to get into the playoffs against the worst team in the league that had every reason to quit. In fact, every reason to lose to secure that number one draft pick. And they looked flat. And, I've been a big Frank Reich fan, but I can understand why Irsay is upset.
Yeah.
Go back to the game against Tampa when red-hot Jonathan Taylor didn't touch the ball for 26 consecutive plays, all of which were passes. If you say that Phillip Rivers was a Frank Reich connection, Carson Wentz was a Frank Reich connection, I believe it's an understatement to say that Frank Reich is on the hot seat for 2022, and had he not signed a 5-year extension this past training camp, it might have been even worse.
Okay, so very interesting. This to me was very interesting. So on January 6th, which by the way is my birthday, Mike, I didn't get a present. Anyway, Russell Wilson said this. Here's Russell Wilson. Play the tape right here.
We've always thought I'd always be here, and that's been always my goal is to win, like I have said to you guys, win multiple Super Bowls, and my plans to be here and to do that, you take every day and you just enjoy the moment.
Okay. January 15th, this weekend, you had a tweet, and your tweet said, hey, it looks like there's a sense among coaches and others in the Seahawks building, Pete's coming back and John Snyder's coming back. The next morning, Russell Wilson comes out and stories are leaked that he'd like to explore his options. Seems pretty obvious he's not a fan of Pete. Is that what I'm getting?
I mean, here we go again. To me, he was very clearly trying to get out last offseason to the point where his agent publicly said, hey, we're not seeking a trade, but any of these four teams will go to if you want to trade us. So I think the noise has started anew, and I think it's fair to conclude that whether it's Pete or, quote, status quo, he feels like he might want to change. Now, Russell likes to split the difference and come out and say, go Hawks, I want to be here, and he compartmentalizes, but obviously there are people close to him probably in this case, someone who represents him, who are trying to push the envelope the other way. So if Russell comes out publicly, like Aaron Rodgers essentially did when he came back in July, and says, you know, I don't like it here, I want to leave, I think it's a tougher situation for the Seahawks to keep him, but not impossible. They do control him potentially for four seasons contractually. He's got two left on his deal. They could franchise him twice. And you can't just go find another Russell Wilson. But, you know, Mark Davis wants a star. He might not hire Rich Bisaccia. Russell wants to explore options. Vegas was high on his list last year that his agent released. Maybe there's a match to be made there. I don't know.
By the way, I want to circle back to the Cowboys. You know, Jerry Jones, there's things about – there's a great conflict. They tend to draft well. They tend to give Chan Gailey an extra year, Barry Switzer an extra year, Jason Garrett an extra year. They're not impulsive at all. But you watch McCarthy, and this thing looked like a mess for the better parts of 2 years. I mean, last year, the defense appeared to just quit until Jerry stepped in and said, get a new defensive coordinator. Is there any chance, and I've never thought of Jerry as impulsive. I find him more strategic than impulsive. There's some vanity there, but he's not a wake up, like a lot of these owners, and I've changed my mind. Any chance that Quinn would be the head coach and McCarthy in an advisory role? Or do you think they're just running these guys back?
You know, I think there's always a chance when you've got an owner who's maniacally competitive and 79 years old and feels like his team was good enough to win. I agree with you that he's not been impulsive. I think the most damning thing you could say about McCarthy is that with, timeout, of football to plot his return, he rolled back in with a defensive coordinator who changed a scheme when there was no offseason for the players. And that was a very ill-advised move by Mike Nolan. So that's on McCarthy. Obviously, it went much, much better with Quinn. But, the people who believe, well, Kellen Moore is clearly the guy, we'll just get rid of McCarthy. You know, yesterday was not Kellen Moore's finest hour either. So, I don't know. I think we need to keep an eye on it. And, you know, with Jerry, it will never be subtle. Probably not likely that he would do that. And you could give some reasons why it would not be a great move. But Jerry's not sitting here trying to build for the next decade. He wants it now. And I understand that.
Okay. I said something earlier. I'll be called crazy town. But Belichick wanted to move Brady, and he's moved multiple Pro Bowlers. He's 70. Do you think they would make a call? Because Mac Jones now is free for 3 years. There's value. He's established himself as a franchise quarterback. He cannot stop Josh Allen. It took a nor'easter. Do you think Belichick would take calls on a Derek Carr and think to himself, hey, I want to win now. This defense is built to win now. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, the defense is not built to win now because it's not just Josh Allen. They didn't even get up to fourth down, right? I mean, they just got rolled. And they did not finish well, by the way. This wasn't just a rough matchup. They, other than blowing out the Jags, they did not have a good end of their season. But, yeah, I think, if you're Belichick and, very importantly, Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft, you should be trying to figure out if this team – as constructed, can compete immediately. And obviously, when you have a coach who's that great, you feel like you can. But, I think every team, there are very few teams that wouldn't at least listen to a conversation if Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers are the subjects, right? I mean, Cincinnati probably wouldn't listen. Buffalo, Kansas City,
right,
and the Chargers. But pretty much, I think, everybody else might, maybe even Tampa, depending on what Brady decides to do. So, I think if you're Belichick, you don't rule anything out.
Yeah. All right, Mike Silver, great job. Great seeing you again. Love your stuff. Always well-sourced. Good seeing you, my man.
Appreciate you, Colin, and happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Though I think I did text you, I think.
You did. It was very meaningful. It meant a lot to me. Thank you, Mike. I do appreciate that.